The Srimad Bhagavatam, one verse number 32 of chapter 30, and the gopis are all together, and they're searching for Krishna who left them at the beginning of the Rasa dance, and now they discovered Krishna's footprints, and they've discovered Radharani's footprints. So in verse 30 of chapter 30 until verse 38, there's the appearance of Radharani's footprints. And the favorable gopis and unfavorable gopis are making their commentaries, what they feel about seeing those footprints. And, of course, the unfavorable Vipaksha gopis like Chandravali or Shaivya or Padma, when they see the footprints, they say negative things and critical things. And when Lalita and Vishakha, they reply by praising Radharani's fortune, and reminding the anti-party of Radharani's unique and privileged special position, because it is Radharani, she alone, who is with Krishna, no one else. So this is verse 32. These are all dialogues of the gopis, one gopi speaking, another gopi speaking. Atra prasuna vachaya priyarte priyasa krita prapadya prapadha kramana ete pashyata sakale pade. DBT translation. One gopi says, and we'll probably find out in the commentary or by the tone of the voice or the dristikon, the angle of vision, who is actually speaking, friend or foe. One gopi says, according to Sukamuni, just see how in this place, dear Krishna collected flowers for his beloved Radha. Here he's left the impression of only the front part of his feet because he was standing on his toes to reach the flowers high in the branches of the tree. So basically the focus of the gopis, they're not seeing Sakshat Rupam, Madhurya Rupam, Rupam Madhurya Sri Krishna, they're only seeing footprints in the sand along the Yamuna, by the Yamunas, by the Rasastali, and they're conjecturing and imagining different points, maybe correct or maybe incorrect, but they're imagining a whole Leela of Krishna carrying two, they see two footprints, and then they only see one, and they say Krishna must have carried Radharani because she's tired or because he's afraid her feet might get hurt, so to protect his beloved Priyaji Radharani, Krishna carries her on his shoulder, and then he sets her down, and then they imagine he's picking flowers for her, and there's a whole Shrinkar Leela going on of Krishna dressing and, let's say, adorning Radharani with beautiful forest flowers, which he's picking himself. We heard yesterday that he went out to pick flowers after he set Radharani down from his shoulder. Krishna went to pick flowers, which he had noticed that Radharani was glancing at, and Radharani was showing an interest in. So then Krishna went to pick those flowers because they're Priya Pushpa, they're dear to Radharani, and then he was offering them to Radharani. So now the Jiva Goswami comments on this verse, very small. He says this 31 is being spoken by the Vipaksha Sakis, the contrary rival, competing party with Radharani, primarily Chandravali, Padma Shaibya. And he says, the opposing group of Sakis speak in this verse with envy. 32. These are friends of Radharani speaking. Just see how dear Krishna collected flowers for his beloved Radharani. His prayasa. Priyarte prayasa krite. Priya art. What did we say? Nam art. And dharma art kamoksh. Art means the benefit, the value, the advantage of. So the priya arte, prayasa krita. So the prayasa and the priya, the priya and the prayasa. So it's yuga nam, Radha and Krishna together. They're not together. And Krishna is picking flowers for his most beloved Priyaji Sri Radha. For her benefit, for her happiness, and for her pleasure. Priya arte, prayasa krita. This is part of two. Line number two. Jiva Goswami Pad says this verse is being spoken by favorable gopis They're speaking in a very appreciative way and great, appreciative way and proud way. Oh, just see, look at our Sakhi. Look at our Yuteshwari Radharani. That Krishna's going to pick flowers for her. And even he's not taking his service casually. We may have a service to render for Krishna. We take it casually, but we don't become seriously involved in it or give it our everything. And we're seeing from the example of Krishna, Krishna could just walk here and there around the forest and pick flowers that were at his hand's length, reach here and there. But it says that we only see the ball of his foot. The ball of his foot means the part of the foot underneath the toes. We don't see the heel. Gopis are saying, the Pakshasakis, the favorable gopis of Krishna, are saying, we don't see the complete footprint of Krishna. We only see the impression in the Rajaduli of Krishna's toes in the front part. And we presume, or we assume, that Krishna is reaching up, stretching his arm above his head to pick that just beautifully perfect kadamba flower to adorn in Radharani's hair. So in other words, Krishna's stretching, Krishna's reaching, he's stretching, he's working hard in the service of Radharani. He's not taking his service lightly. This point we can also draw. Because if you see Krishna's full footprints everywhere, he's simply walking, oh, here's a flower, here's a flower, here's a flower. But he's not satisfied with what he can reach within arm's reach. He looks up, oh, there's some nice flowers in the tree, but they're very high in the branches. Well, let me see if I can attain that. Let me see if I can pluck that flower for Radharani's pleasure. But that's called going the extra distance. It's called going the extra distance for the pleasure, the priyarte prayasa. Priyarte prayasa krita. That Krishna is doing extra. Krishna is doing adik seva, extra seva for his swamini Priyaji Radha. So we are also serving Radharani and we're serving Krishna. So we should do extra adik seva. Give it our best and more. Not just, oh yeah, I'm doing my service. I did my service. Now let me sleep. Right? No, the service, we should always think, I'm doing this service, but can I do more? Can I expand it? Can I do it better? Can I improve it? So Krishna maybe collected many flowers. And he was saying, oh, I'm collecting so many flowers from the creepers and from the creepers on the ground and the creepers on the wrapped around the trees. Utica and Malati. But what about the flowers from the trees, like Kadamba and Ashok? Oh, well, they're high. I have to get some of these too. He could just say, if he was a lazy servant, oh, that's too much trouble. I don't want to go to that trouble in the service of Radharani. I had to stretch up. I may rip my shirt. This is a new shirt. And if I stretch up, I may rip my shirt. I better be careful and protect my brand new shirt. Or I may hurt my feet if I stretch up on my toes. I may sprain my ankle. There's no physical considerations, no me considerations. Krishna's only thinking, Priyarte Prayasa Krita. This is so nice line from this verse, chapter 30 of the 10th canto, verse 32. Prayasa, Priyarte. Priyarte prayasa krita. I will do this, krita. Krita means to do. I will do this for my beloved. I will stretch my arm and I'll stand on my tippy toes for her. Because I love her, because she's my everything, because she's my priya, she's my dearest. So for the devotee, for the bhakta, Krishna is devoted to his devotees, and the devotees are devoted to Krishna. This is love. This is bhakti. It's called Jiva, Bhagavan Jiva Prem Sambandha. It's the bondage of love, but of prema, Krishna prema, which means seva. It's not simply love for love's sake, but our objective is not love, but our objective is loving seva. It's called Radha Krishna Prem Seva. So in the seva of the beloved, there is no boundaries, there's no limitations, there's no restrictions. So because it's nitya, Krishna is eternal and the Dham is nitya and it's unlimited. Even the trees are called Vriksha trees, and the ground is Chintamani. So whatever Chintamani means, whatever you're thinking, these jewels, these money, these jewels will fulfill and manifest. These jewels that we're walking on in the land of Vrindavan, they will manifest and produce and give me whatever I'm thinking. Chintamani, Chintamani, Chintamani Prakarasadmashu Kalpaviksha. Laksha Vritesha Surabir Abhipalyantam. Lakshmi Sahasrasata Sambrahma Sevyamanam. Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. The trees are kalpa. Briksh. Briksh means trees. Kalpa means your wish. Your wish is my command, said the genie when the genie arose from the lap of the proverbial genie that will fulfill the desires. So kalpa riksha means what is your kalpana? What is your dream? What are you dreaming? What are you scheming? What are you planning? What do you desire? But yet our acharyas say that the trees, that's the nature and the prabhav and influence of the trees in Vrindavan. But when the gopis see the trees, and any tree can give them bangles and saris and jewels and all the things that ladies like. But when they approach the mango tree, they just say, oh, that's a nice mango. Let me pick this mango for Krishna. But sometimes, when the need arises for the service of Radharani or Krishna, then the gopis, they take saris from the trees and bangles and kajal and lipstick and all kinds of things. We can read those passages in Govinda Lilamrita and Krishna Bhavanamrita. It says, it describes there that the trees, they automatically, they have so many flowers in the kadamba trees. The kadamba trees themselves, they're thinking, well, flowers are nice, but someone has to pick the flowers, then get a string and a needle and string the flowers. So I'll do it for them. So then the kadamba tree makes kadamba garlands and hangs garlands on the tree like candy canes hanging from the Christmas tree in Europe. You go to the Christmas tree and pick off the candy cane and start eating it. It's a Christian ritual, Christmas, a rite. So they decorate the tree. So the trees automatically form garlands because at that particular, ordinarily the trees are just feature blossoming with flowers on their twigs and branches, but when they see the gopis are requiring fresh kadamba malas, and after the rasa dance and all the malas are crushed and all the fragrance is dissipated into the atmosphere, and now the Krishna and the gopis have bathed and refreshed themselves in the cooling waters of Yamunaji, and now they've been decorated and adorned and painted and by the Manjaris and Sakis, and now the finishing touch is the garland. So then, there's the kadamba tree. Oh, it takes so much time. We need garlands right now. Boing, 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 boing. So many garlands immediately appear on the tree. Oh, that's nice. Thank you. And Tulsi Manjari just takes the flower garland from the tree. The string is there. The flowers are there. Everything is already done. Perfect. It's perfect size. Those garlands exactly the size for Radharani, the length for Radharani, and garlands exactly the length for Krishna. Oh, this is for Radharani. That's just perfect. They already put one necklace and two necklaces and three. There's four or five necklaces adorning their chest. And the garland is supposed to be a little bit longer than the last necklace. So it's a perfect symmetry. So there's emeralds, there's pearls, and there's emeralds, and there's diamonds, then there's sapphires, and then there's yellow kadamba garland to accent all the jewels, like one by one by one. So this is the beauty of the kalpavriksha trees. But ordinarily, the mango trees give mangoes, and the flower trees give individual flowers. So Krishna, priyarte priyasa krita, for the benefit of his priyaji, Radharani, he's standing on his toes, he's stretching so high, just to get that most fragrant, beautiful, and large kadamba flower to please Radharani. This is being noticed and announced by Radharani's favorable party. And that's what it says. Other Sakis of Radha speak, Krishna's most affectionate Prayasa picked flowers, and he was standing on his toes at every flowering tree. Vishnu Purana also explains briefly the Rasa dance. Well, actually, not so briefly. Vishnu Purana describes Rasa dance in 172 verses, and the Srimad Bhagavatam describes in 173. And it says, certainly Krishna has picked many flowers here because there are many prints of only the tips of Krishna's feet. So apparently Krishna, this verse is depicting one moment in the Nitya Leela of Krishna, that he stood on his tiptoes on the balls of his feet to reach some flowers in the tree. So he didn't just do that once. Oh, let me get this one kadamba flower. Vishnu Purana Jiva Goswami is pointing out that Krishna was going to every single flowering tree. Oh, this one. Let me reach up. Oh, that one. And, oh, this one. And that one. And that one. And he picked so many flowers with great effort and great strain and great devotion for Radharani. To further exemplify the point I mentioned, that he's taking trouble and a lot of trouble, priyarte prayasa krita, for the benefit of his lover. And that's what love means. They say the burden of love, the labor of love, the burden of love. There is no burden and there's no labor in love, because love itself is so satisfying and fulfilling that everything connected with the loving relationship is simply a further and deepening expression of that feeling and sensation of love. So there's no service too difficult, there's no endeavor too straining for the pleasure of the beloved. And Krishna is illustrating that here in the pages of the Bhagavatam, especially in this verse, that Jiva Goswami is accentuating that point by citing the reference of Vishnu Puran, who is also saying the same point, and he's also echoing that point by saying, just see our Krishna. And of course, the Gaudiyas love to see Krishna serving Radharani so diligently and so enthusiastically and so energetically. Krishna is not lazy in the service of Radharani, and nor should we be lazy in the service of Radharani. Right? Because we're also serving Priyaji Radharani. Gaudiyas are all servants of Radharani, Radhadasya. And Radharani is the best servant of Krishna. Anaya aradita nunam bhagavan hara ishvaraha. So Vishnu Chakravarti comments on this verse 32 briefly. He says, let's read the verse again. This time I'll read Prabhupada's translation extracted from the Krishna book. Radharani's favorable sakis were saying, oh, Radha is so dear to Krishna. Krishna must have picked some flowers in this spot to satisfy Radharani, because here, where Krishna stood erect to get the flowers from high in the branches of the tree, we find only half the impression of his feet. Vishnu Chakravarti Pad comments. He's actually repeating the gopis are speaking. Here, Krishna has picked flowers from the branch of the Ashok tree, which was mentioned previously, for his beloved Radha. To pluck the flowers on the branches beyond his reach, Krishna stood up on his toes. Thus, only part of Krishna's feet, and not all, is visible in the footprints, said the favorable gopi. And that is all that he mentions in 32. And Prabhupada doesn't have any commentary. And there's some comments by the speaker here. And the speaker says this. Some acharyas say that this verse is being spoken by Radharani's little sister, who is whom?
Ananga.
All right. Ananga Manjri. She's an Anga. She's an Anga. Anga means a part or a limb. So she's a part of Radharani. But then she's Ananga. Ananga is also a name for Cupid. Anga means no body. the bodiless one, Kandarpa, who was burned to ashes by Shiva, but still was blessed with the ability to affect and to affect people. Even without a body, he still shoots his pushpabana, shoots his five arrows at everyone. Unmadani, the arrows of Cupid are called Unmadani. No, they're called, you know, what are they called? Asamohana. The first one is Sammohana. Sammohana, Stamba, Unmadani, Shoshan, and Tapan. These are the names of the Pushpabana, Panchabana, five arrows of Cupid. And these are the names and also the effects. Sammohana. One becomes bewitched by, one becomes the first effect of Cupid's arrows is one becomes bewitched by and bewildered by the dazzling attractive form of another person. It becomes Sammohan, Sammo, totally bewildered. The next thing is Stamba, becomes stunned. Wow. Look at him, look at what a this, and look at her, what a that. And then you're bewildered and you're stunned, and you stunned means you forget everything else, and then next thing is unmadani. Unmadani means you become uttamada. Uttamada. Uttamada means you become very, very intoxicated and start acting in crazy ways. Not sleeping, not eating, and acting all crazy ways. And then Shoshan. Shoshan means become possessed by the other person. Start burning. Very just thinking day and night. Oh, I have to meet that person. I want to be with that person. I have to see that person. Become overwhelmed by strong and intense desires. Shoshan. And then Tapan. This is the fifth and last arrow, which means one starts burning. The word tap in Sanskrit, T-A-P, like tapasya, means burning. So one's heart and one's mind starts burning with calm, lust. I have to have, I'm going crazy. This is Cupid, Kandarpa. So he burns people, a lot of people's minds are burning right now because of Cupid. So we need to put some ice cubes on our head. Cool down. Get a nice hat and fill your hat with ice cubes. Prabhupada once said that the brahmacharis get overheated, they should take a cold shower, which will immediately turn into vapor. So the real solution is not ice cubes on the head, but chaito darpana marjanam. When one cleanses the heart by the ingress of the kripa of Bhagavan, kripa patra, Bhagavan kripa, Radharani kripa, and Nam Kripa, then one's mind becomes cool, internally cool. You don't need any ice cubes. You can even take a hot shower and still be cool. Have a cool mind. Cool mind is a pure mind. And a pure mind is a Krishna mind, Radha mind. So that's where it starts. Shikshastakam, Chaitadarpana Marjanam. Marjan. Chandra is there to cool us down. And the holy name is there. That's why it says Chandrika. Shreya Kaivarva Chandrika. Shreya Kaivarva Chandrika. This chanting of Hare Krishna, it's Shreyas. It gives us long-term benefit. There's Shreyas and Prayas. Prayas means immediate now benefit. Immediate sense pleasure. Now, pleasing the senses. But Prayas means long-term benefit. So this Shreyas Kairava Chandrika. Kairava is a white lotus which blossoms in the moonshine. So one chants the holy name of Krishna, that it gives long-term benefit. It may take a while for the benefit to come. We're chanting and chanting and chanting, maybe many lifetimes. But the benefit comes, and then the lotus, the Sahasra Padma, which is the seventh chakra of the human body, sitting on the top of the head, inside. That's called the Kairava. It's a white lotus. Kairava Chandrika. So in the moonbeams of pure man, Shuddhman, then the lotus opens up and one's mind is very cool and one sees Krishna. And life becomes joyful at every moment. Anandam Buddhivardhanam Pratipadam Purnamritas Swadhanam. Pratipadam. Pratipadam means step after step. Prem Aswaranam, Bhakti Aswaranam, Bhava Aswaranam, Rasa Aswaranam. So some acharyas say that Radharani's younger sister Nanga is speaking verse 32, glorifying her older sister's unique position of being alone with Krishna, and Krishna is working so hard to please her big sister, my big sister. Astra Prasunavacha. Atra prasuna vachaya priyarte priyasa krita prapada kramana ete pashyata sakale pade. So he's saying Ananga Manjari is speaking this verse. And because you can notice the favorable tone and the mood of the shloka of verse 32 that is spoken by Radharani's little sister Ananga, her chota bane. Ananga Manjari says in line 2, the Krishna, the lover, he acts prayasi krita only for the benefit artha of his beloved Radharani, priyarta. So as I said before, this dumba or pride is to be removed from our hearts and consciousness. This dumba is a demoniac quality, asura sampat. And we have to remove that somehow or other. But to be proud of devotees or proud of Guru or be proud of Radharani or to be proud of Krishna, that's acceptable, that's pure, that's transcendental. That's the sign of a pure mind and a pure heart. When one gives up all pride for himself and focuses his pride and appreciation on others, and that's exactly what Lord Chaitanya is saying in his Shikshastakam, Amanina Manidena Kirtaniya Sadahari. So one who has become free from pride, he will always be, the holy name will always be living with that person, that devotee, automatically. Pride chases away the name from the mind and heart. So Amanina Manidena, always showing respect to others, and without any desire for such self-respect or aggrandizement, then Krishna is very pleased. So Nanga Manjari is very proud of her sister. So just see, priyarte priyasa krita. Radharani's beloved priyasa is krita, working very hard for my big sister, for the benefit of my big sister. The lover priyasa Krishna is acting priyasa krita only for the benefit of his beloved Radharani. Oh, in Sanatana Dharma culture of ancient India, we call this Varnashram system, four Varnas and four Ashramas. They have outlined, there's four stages of life, four stages of human endeavor, four stages of human pursuit. Dharma, art, kam, and moksha. So here we're finding out about art. It's mentioning art, the priyarte, the benefit of Radharani. So Krishna is only acting for the benefit of his beloved Radharani. So Krishna's dharma is prem dharma. His duty is dharma means your duty, your purpose of your life, the activities of your life, which are regulated by shastras and scriptures to promote your life to a better position. As we say, some people often say, it's getting better all the time. It will be getting better all the time if one is guided by shastras. It will get better and better, and gradually one will attain perfection. But if one disregards shastra and disregards the dictates and rules and vidhi and instructions of the shastras, then he won't be happy or attain any perfection. As mentioned in 16th chapter of Gita, Ishastra vidim utsrija vartate kamakarata nasa siddham avapnoti Asuka na paramgati. Krishna is telling that someone who acts whimsically, vartate kama karata. Varta means the pathway, the way of life, the journey, the path, lifestyle. Kama karata, according to his own lust, then he nasasidam vapnoti nasukam na paramgati. He doesn't attain perfection, he doesn't attain happiness, and he doesn't attain the supreme goal of life. He doesn't go to Vaikuntha prapti nehoga, Goloka prapti nehoga. He doesn't attain. So therefore, the progressive human being will be grateful to the great sages and to Bhagavan who have given the Shastra, the Dharma Shastras, and guide their lives accordingly to find inner peace and happiness and satisfaction, ultimately liberation. Dharma, art, kam, and moksha. Moksha is the goal of the Oriental Vedic Indian culture. It is meant for promotion, elevation, improvement, getting better all the time. Better, better, best. Best is liberation. The best position is no death. But the best position is no sickness, no disease, no misery, no unhappiness, no heartbreaks, no poverty, no lack, no dearth of anything. That's transcendental realm. So that's the birthright of the human being to attain that. So Krishna is mentioning here that he's showing that there's different types of dharma. There's Atma Dharma and there's Deha Dharma. Deha Dharma means related to the body, and Atma Dharma is related to the soul. So Krishna is doing his dharma and art, dharma art. So he's showing an example of prema dharma. This is the highest. And so what is Krishna's dharma? The dharma of Krishna, the perfect dharma of Krishna, is to please and satisfy Radharani, his Priyaji. So what is our dharma? Our Sanatan dharma. We say Sanatan dharma, the Jiva dharma, the Atma dharma. For us, it's to please and satisfy Krishna. Jivara Surupaya Krishna Nitya Das. Yes, we're Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Yes, our goal is Mandri Bhav and Gopi Bhav. Yes, we want to be servants of Radharani, and we will be, her Kinkris and Mandris. But we'll serve Radharani with Krishna. But still, it doesn't change our eternal existential identity that I'm Krishna Das. There's nowhere that all of a sudden we stop becoming Krishna Das and become Radharani Dasi. We're Radharani Dasi, we're Dasis, but by constitutional nature, every Gaudiya Vaishnava is Krishna Das. We're serving Krishna. Radharani, whom we are serving, is also the best servant of Krishna. We just established that in 10:30:28. Anayaradito Nunam Bhagavan Harishvara. So we're serving Radharani so she can serve Krishna better, because her goal in life is to please Krishna, and our goal in life is to please Radharani and help Radharani please Krishna. So therefore, Mandris, Gopis, Sakis, all the five types of Sakis, they're all servants of Krishna, and they're also servants of Radharani. Some are leaning more towards Radharani in terms of loving proclivities, loving attitude, and some are equal in their loving attitude and proclivities towards Radha and Krishna, and some are more favorable, not more favorable, more a mood of love towards Krishna. Sama Sneha Adhika, Radha Sneha Adhik, and Krishna Sneha Adhik. Extra Sneha for Krishna or Radharani. So I was just mentioning that Krishna's Dharma, his Prem Dharma, is pleasing and loving Radharani. And he's doing this by his favorable and loving actions, his speech, his behavior. Krishna gives art, wealth, and benefit and pleasure to Radharani, Priya Arte, whom Krishna constantly worships as his Ishta Devata. Radharani rules Krishna's heart and controls his very life airs. So this is our comments on this phrase, Priyarte Priyasa Krita, from verse 32. I'll read the verse again, and then we'll go on to verse 33. So this is Atra Prasuna Vachaya, Priyarte Priyasa Krita, Prapadya Kramana Ete, Vashyata sakale pade. Translation: Anangamanjari is saying, or some Sakhi is speaking, Radharani's favorable Sakhi, she's saying, just see how in this place, dear Krishna collected flowers for his beloved Radha. Here, Krishna has left the impression of only the front part of his feet, because he was standing on his toes to reach the flowers. So this is a very beautiful verse. And I don't see any entry from Saraswati Pad. We'll go to verse 33. 10th Canto, chapter 30, verse 33. Kesha prasadanam tvatra kamanya kamena kritam tani chuda yata kantam vavishtam iha dhruvam. Translation: Certainly Krishna sat down here with his girlfriend to arrange her hair. The lusty boy must have made a crown for that lusty girl out of the flowers he had collected. Now, who is speaking this verse? Can you imagine? It must be. Let's find out. Good guess. Really, not speaking very friendly terms. On seeing a discarded, broken flower ornament on the ground, the opposing group of Sakhis speaks in this verse 33. Out of lust, because they use the word in 33, they use the word kamanya kamena kritam. Kamani and kamena. Kamani means is female. Kamani Radha and Kamana Sham. Kamani Radha, Kamana Sham. That's nice. Then lusty Radharani and lusty Krishna. And this, and the last time, some, and then the previous verse, some of the anti-party spoke, they also said Krishna was Kamina. Verse 31. Barakrantasya Kamina. That lusty Krishna took away Radharani, and he gave up us who actually have love for him. So they keep accusing Krishna of being very lusty. He doesn't, because there's prema, which is like gold, and there's lust, which is like iron. And prema is selfless and giving, and lust is selfish and taking and exploiting and diminishing. And love is encouraging and expanding. Appreciating, so they're criticizing Krishna and Radharani. Out of lust, Krishna is dressing the hair of this lusty woman. Krishna did this only to enjoy pleasure and amorous flirting. In other words, he's not really interested in dressing Radharani's hair, or brushing it, or putting flowers. He's just interested in stimulating her lust by showing his attention. So Krishna's motivation is not exactly based on seva, it's more selfish me consideration. So the envious anti-party are pointing this out. Oh, look, this he's like this. So this is what Jiva Goswami is saying in this commentary. These anti-party, the rival Sakhis, the Vipaksha Sakhis of Radharani, they're saying, Krishna is doing this only to enjoy the pleasure of amorous flirting. He's flirting for his own enjoyment. Well, we can understand Radharani must like the attention also. Who wouldn't? Everybody likes the attention. Someone's decorating your hair with flowers and brushing it. Whatever the reason is, it's nice. But these gopis are really critical of him. Krishna. Krishna Chakravarti says, Kesha prasadanam tvatra kamanya kamena kritam tani chuda yata kantam upavishta ihad dhruvam. Vishnu Chakravarti Pad says, seeing the signs that Krishna has sat down between Krishna's knees, the rival anti-party gopis again speak. Here Krishna sat down and dressed or adorned that girl's hair using a comb supplied by the Van Devis, forest goddesses, forest, let's just say, Van Devis, leave it at that. In line 2, the word is kamina, Kamenya, which means Kamani, which means that girl, she's filled with lust, not love. Because there's Kamani and there's Kanta. Kamani Kanta, Shiva Lavanta. Jaya Radhe, Jaya Kamani Kanta, Shiva Lavanta. This is some song by Haridev Vyasacharya. Shama Gwari Nitya Kishori Prita Majori Shirani Kamani Kanta Bhagavad, like this. So it kind of all mixed everything there. Very beautiful. But there's the word Kamani and Kanta. So Kamani means lusty girl and Kanta means a lover, beloved. So it's Kamani is a little insulting. Oh, she's just lusty. She's selfish and lusty and egoistic and just wants to enjoy. So that's the implication of the meaning Kamani. But Kanta means someone who's dedicated and surrendered and caring and wants to promote the beloved and serve and encourage and help and please and satisfy the beloved at all costs without considering or measuring or weighing or expecting or desiring or hoping to get one's own satisfaction or pleasure. There's a vast difference between the word Kamani and Kanta. So that's why even the choice of words, Radharani, when the other verses were spoken by Radharani's party, they said Kanta. They referred to Radharani as Kanta. Kanta and Krishna's Kanta, Krishna Kanta, Radha Kanta. So this Krishna is pointing it out. This girl is filled with lust. In other words, she's a Kamani, not a Kanta. Because she has cheated her own friends, us, and gone off alone with her lover. Krishna too is, she's a Kamani and he's not a Kant. He's not Radhakant. He's a lover of Radharani. He's a Kamina. He's lusty and selfish and egoistic and proud, and so is she. Krishna too is filled with lust, says Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. Because he's neglected us gopis who are filled with pure love for him. And tormented by the pain of separation. While sitting here, Krishna made a crown of flowers for his lusty girlfriend. Or else he jokingly combed her hair into a top knot to resemble a man. Because the word says, Tani Churiyata Kantam. Tani Chudyanta Kantam. So now it's talking about the lover. So Chuda, this is called the Chuda. So you've heard of Shankha Chuda? There's one demon, Shankha Chuda. So Chuda means that the man takes his hair and ties in some top knot, like Gorni tie, you see. All the hair is gathered together. And maybe lady has long hair, she can play around like that. Just for fun or whatever. Make a top knot. And it's called Chuda. And so he's Shankha Chuda. So Shankha, so in that top knot, he had a very beautiful conch shell there, all ornamented with gold. Shankha Chuda. Have you ever heard? There's a demon in Krishna Leela, Vrindavan Leela. And he came during Holi Purnima, and the gopis were all celebrating Holi with Krishna by Govardhan. And he wanted to kidnap Radharani and the gopis. Then Krishna bumped him off and took his shankha, his jewel, and made it onto a necklace, or a conch shell, or something like that. Gave it to Radharani, I don't know. At any rate, so this is Chuda. So out of jest, Krishna's joking. This is the vision, the sweet vision of Leela that Chakravarti Pada is showing us. Because the translation, it says he was making, because Churiyata is a Sanskrit, it means crown. So he was making a crown of flowers, because we see in Radha Krishna Ganadesh Deepika by Rupa Goswami Pad, it's describing all the different flower dresses and shoes and ornaments that the gopis and sakis make to adorn Radharani, and even they have different names. They make a choli, this choli, we call it choli, or this blouse that ladies wear on the top. It's called a choli, right, choli? So they make, the sakis and mandris are expert at making flower cholis for the summertime. a very, very nice airflow, and very fragrant, and very beautiful. Then they make flower chokers, and they make flower crowns, and the most exciting thing they make, interesting thing, they make shoes out of flowers. Shoes, you know, for the feet. I mean, Radharani and Krishna are walking barefoot, no shoes in Vrindavan. Maybe in the palace they may wear, because they're in the palace, but when they're together in the Leela and with the cows, that Krishna doesn't wear any shoes when he's with the cowherd boys or the cows. And even his mother asked him once, he said, why don't you wear shoes? He said, you're a king's son, you're a Yuvaraj. You should wear shoes. And then Krishna said, all right, Mother Yashoda, oh Janani, I agree, I will wear shoes under one condition, that you buy shoes for all my mothers, because a son shouldn't have more than the mother. So all my mothers, you buy shoes for all my mothers, then I'll wear shoes. Are Lala, we have 900,000 cows. That will take a long time to make so many shoes. And each cow doesn't have one pair of shoes, but two, because they have 4 feet. So Krishna said, yes, so because my mother is not wearing shoes, then I can't wear shoes. So, but Rupa Goswami says that the gopis, they make, or Radharani's, to adorn her feet, they make flower shoes. So I in my meditation, because not much is said about that, there's names for these different flower ornaments, flower armlets and bracelets and cholis and flower waist belts and flower dresses and everything, flowers. And then the flower shoes made of flowers. So my meditation, I see that the flowers are just adorning the top part of the feet around the ankles and maybe even up the above the ankles a little bit and on top of Radharani's feet, and they go in between her toes, but they don't go on the bottom of her feet because they'll get all crushed up in 2 seconds. That's the way I see it. The beautiful flower shoes. Because when you see in the temples in the winter time, the idea I have like that is in the winter time in the temples in Vrindavan, the Goswami Saptalaya, you'll see that the murtis of Krishna, they wear socks. They have socks on their feet. But because the murti is the way it's made and configured, they cut, there's no bottom on the socks. They just put the socks on the top and they cut the back of the sock, goes up the ankle. So the sock is cut up in half, and it was Velcro, and they put it around his leg and close it. Then the top part of the sock sits on the top part of his foot, but there's no bottom to the sock. Have you ever dressed deities in the wintertime? So this is a so I'm thinking the flower, there's no Velcro there, but rather in these flower shoes or something like that. It's very cute to see, and especially in Mangalarti, in some temples, Krishna wears a topi. You know, topi is like man wears that little hat on his head, or lady even. Wool hat, you just pull it over and flip it over like that, you know. It's called topi. Not a top hat, it's just called topi. So I see in Damodar temple, I spent many few winters there with Damodar. He would wear mittens on his hand. Mittens means gloves with no fingers. Only has a thumb. It's called mitten. It's just solid. There's no individual fingers. There's a thumb, and then all the other fingers are in a solid piece of cloth called mittens. So I say this establishes the transcendental. This proves that Krishna is transcendental. Many people can play the flute. There's many expert flute players. But I challenge anyone in the world to put on a pair of mittens and play the flute. That'd be pretty impossible. But Krishna can play the flute even with mittens, even with his hand, because he's holding the flute with the mittens, which means he's playing it. It's pressed to his lips. This is a chintya shakti, the inconceivable. This is a proof of the inconceivable power of God, that Krishna can play a flute while wearing a pair of gloves with no finger, individual fingers cut in the gloves. It's called mittens. And you want to hear Krishna playing the flute? And you want to see him with those mittens? Then please come to Vrindavan and go to the Radha Damodar temple in Sevakunj at 4:30 or 5 in the morning, and you'll have the darshan of Krishna playing the flute with mittens. Please do come. Very cute indeed. So Vishwanath is commenting on 33 that Krishna is playing with Radharani, and she probably doesn't even know, because I don't know if they have a mirror or not. Krishna's brushing her hair, and she says, "What are you doing, my hair?" She says, "Oh, it looks very nice. I'll show you." So Krishna's take because Radharani's hair goes all the way to a few inches above her knees. It goes to her mid thighs. It's really long and beautiful and shiny and soft and bouncy and beautiful. Very nice, so soft to touch. So then Krishna has lots of hair to make a top knot, super top knot, chudayata. So then, of course, just at that moment, some mantri will give Radharani a darpan, darpan seva, and Radharani will look and say, "Oh, what are you doing? You know, nonsense." Because he's dear Lalita Nayak. Dear Lalita Nayak is Krishna, means he's playful, carefree, and controlled by his lover. So this is love. This is what we call pranaya. Pranaya means, because you're my pran, my very life existence is your heart. Your heart is my pran. My pran is your heart. So in pranaya, the lover can do anything with the beloved, and the beloved can do anything with the lover, and no one will say, no one will complain, no one will call the police, no one will do anything. Anything means any loving expression, not some demoniac, you know, violent thing like in the modern world. So the pranaya means that there's no inhibitions. Radharani's not afraid to touch Krishna. Krishna's not afraid to take Radharani and dress her up like him. And she dresses, sometimes Radharani dresses Krishna as a gopi. So ordinarily, this person wouldn't allow, "Hey, you can't do this. Stop this. What are you doing?" There's certain boundaries. Even in loving relationships, there's certain boundaries established by ego and other limitations of the conditioned souls. But on the level of transcendental reality, where Krishna's body is completely made of prema, and Radharani and all the devotees' bodies are completely made of prema, there are no limitations. There's no such thing as ego as we know it. So this is a very... Krishna did like this, and then Radha and Krishna engaged in a playful conversation in a secluded place. And that's the extent of Vishnu's commentary. So this text 33, I'll read it again. Kesha prasaranam tvatra kaminya kamina kritam tani chudayata kantam upavishtam ihadruvam. Now I'll favor Srila Prabhupada's translation. "Oh, Sakis, oh dear Sakis, just see how Krishna must have sat down here with Radharani and tried to set flowers in her hair. You can be certain that both of them sat together here." So, small comments by the speaker. Some acharyas say that Krishna personally made a crown of flowers for Srimati Radharani and set it atop her hair to coronate Radharani as the queen of Vrindavan. So Krishna took Radharani away from all the other gopis, and there was rival party, the favorable party and rivals. So of course the rival party will be thinking, "Oh, our Chandravali is the best of all the gopis, and she's actually the queen of Vrindavan." But then Radharani's team and Radharani's gopis will be thinking, "Oh, Radharani is supreme, and she's the queen of Vrindavan, she's Vrindavaneshwari." But now they're all together searching, and they discover that Radharani alone has been taken and no other gopi. So some acharyas say that Krishna personally made a crown of flowers for Radharani and set it atop her hair to coronate Radharani as queen of Vrindavan. So the point I was making is that all the gopis are divided. Radharani's party obviously concludes and believes that she's the queen and Yukteswari of Radharani's heart, the controller of his heart, Prem Vashibhut, Krishna Prem Vashibhut. And Chandravali's party, they believe that she's supreme and she's the controller of Krishna's heart and she's the queen. And now when they catch up and finally find Radharani and see her wearing this beautiful crown of flowers, the first thing everyone will say, who made that? Because they know it's not any of them. Chandravali certainly didn't make it. And even the other Sakis, nobody made it, because when Krishna makes something for Radharani, you can imagine it's extraordinary. It's what they call a designer piece. It's a designer piece, by order only, handcrafted. We only make 50 in a year, a Lamborghini or something like that. They make 100 cars a year or something. So this is special. So when the gopis meet Radharani, oh, like many times when girls meet, oh, where did you get that dress? Where did you get, they often comment on different things. Oh, it's a new dress shop open in the Acha. They talk like this. So they see Krishna's crown, Radharani's crown. Wow. Oh, yes. Krishna made this for me. And then, but it's so big. It's so amazing. Extraordinary. Yes. Krishna said, when I'm putting this crown, I'm making this for you. I'm putting this crown on you because from this day on, you are the queen of Vrindavan. That's what Krishna told me. I am the queen of Vrindavan. So Sri Jiva Goswami comments on this verse 33. He says verse 33 is spoken by Radharani's rivals. Anti-party, Vipaksha party, like Chandravali Padma Shaivya. They're criticizing Radharani as just a Kamani. That's what he said. He says, oh Kamani, Kamanina, just see how this lusty Krishna, this lusty girl. Vishnu doesn't take it like that. He takes it like, oh, Krishna's favoring her and tying her hair in a top knot and making a crown of flowers to proclaim that she's the queen of Vrindavan. He's just a Kamani, a lusty girl. However, one can see another point of the verse that Vishaka or Tulsi Manjari or other gopis who are favorable to Radharani and were trusted, confidential, and dear party members, And they're full of love for Radharani and Krishna. So they say that they're actually saying that Radha's love, Radha's Krishna prema is so special, unique, so pure and secret that it hides itself from all others under the cover of lust, Kamani. So Vishaka, some acharyas are saying that this verse is spoken by Vishaka saying, oh, look at this Kamani. The Kamani is actually Brokshavad. Externally it means lusty girl, but internally it means one has no lust at all. She's Kamani, she's completely free from Kamani. She's completely free because her love is so pure and so selfless and so one-pointed and dedicated towards Krishna and Krishna alone and Krishna's pleasure without a scent or a desire or a whiff of any self-interest or pleasure for myself, that therefore is hiding itself. Immaculately pure and selfless transcendental love. So Krishna is most attracted to Radharani alone, and so Krishna shows that he's extremely pleased, and he is personally picking, and because he's so pleased with Radharani that he's gone to pick flowers and fashion, personally picking flowers and fashioning a crown of flowers to honor and serve his beloved Radharani. So he's making a crown for Radharani's beautiful head to proclaim that she's the queen of Vrindavan and she's the queen of my heart and she's the empress of pure love. Radharani is the empress or the queen of Shuddha Prem, Vishuddha, Vishuddha Shringarati. Shringarati means Madhurati, amorous love. And Vishuddha means totally transcendentally pure and immaculate. So I'm going to proclaim Radharani as the queen of this love. Although Vishaka is saying Kamani, oh, this Kamani and Kamana, Kamani Radha, Kamana, Sham. But it's actually quite the opposite. So in reality, Radha is so much totally beyond and transcendental. Radharani is so much beyond and transcendental to mundane, material, selfish, lusty desires, kamanya, that Krishna places a crown of flowers atop Radharani's beautiful head of hair to proclaim to the world and all their gopis, quote, "This gopi alone, Radharani, is the empress of pure love and the one and only queen of my heart, Mera Praneshwari." Mera Praneshwari Radharani ki jai. So this is verse 33. Kesha Prasadanam. Kesha means hair. Kesha means expert addressing Radharani's hair. Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava Pahimam. Krishna Prasadanam Tvatra Kaminya Kamina Kritam Tani Churiyata Kantam Upavishtam Ihadruvam. It's a little bit more in 33. Text 33. BBT has a little commentary. It means my godbrothers. The Acharyas explain that Sri Krishna wanted to decorate Radharani's hair with the forest flowers that he had collected. Therefore, Radha Govinda sat down together facing the same direction with Radharani between Krishna's knees. That's nice. So they're sitting down and Radharani is between Krishna's knees and they're facing each other. Oftentimes when someone's brushing or combing the hair, they go behind the person. The second person goes behind. But Krishna can't bear a minute to not see Radharani's beautiful lotus face. Nimeshina. They say, Yugayitam Nimeshina, Chakshusha Pravishayitam. So Nimesha, a Nimesha means the blink of an eye, Nimesha, is like a yuga. So the gopis in Govinda Virahiname, Radharani in her viraha, her separation from Krishna, she can't bear the blinking of an eye, not seeing his beautiful lotus face and his Padmalocham, his lotus eyes, Padmalocham, Sri Krishna. Same way Krishna feels that for Radharani. So she's facing Krishna, Krishna's facing her. And that's how they're sitting. And Radharani starts, Krishna proceeds to arrange flowers in Radharani's hair and make a crown of flowers for Radharani, coronating Radharani as the queen of Vrindavan, Vrindavaneshwari. Thus, the romantic young boy Shamsundar and Radharani played and joked together in Vrindavan. And this Acharya Rasa Prabandha by Srila Prabhupada Ananda Saraswati Pad, he has, in a few verses, he speaks about this same pastime. So we'll look at those and share those with everyone. This is text 221 through 224. Upavishyata, so utpula koru, dvaya madhyaga dayatam ati charu. Gumpitavan kusamer varavenis chakre chaniabharana shreni. Utpulakoru dayatam ati charu varavenis varana shreni. He says, next, that exceptionally handsome boy sat down on the ground and seated his beloved Radharani between his thighs, which were beautified by profuse thrill bumps. In other words, he's giving a little more insight into the Leela, a little closer inspection from his meditative prem samadhi. And he's seeing that Radharani is sitting between Krishna's thighs, and when she gets so close to Krishna, then his body starts breaking out in pulakita, little tiny bumps of bliss. And his thighs become beautified by profuse thrill bumps. This pulakita. Here, Krishna ties Radharani's hair in an excellent braid that was interwoven with these flowers. He also fashioned a series of other kind of flower ornaments for her. So he sees it. He says, Varavenis, Kusamer, Kusamer Varanavenis. Kusamer means fragrant flowers. Konfitavan. So he took her hair and made a veni, you know, three pieces together. And other flower ornaments. Text 222. Sakya Pashita Manjula Kunje, Dhruvamiya Gunjan, Madhukara Punje, Pravishatam To, Surata Satrishno, Madhukala Murti, Radha Krishno. Hey, Sakigan. In other words, the Sakis are saying, listen, all Sakis. Oh, Sakis, look, look. Radha and Krishna, whose mannerisms were like a maddened elephant's and were eager to enjoy intimate pastimes, have definitely entered this charming kunja, which resounds with the sweet droning of swarms of honeybees. And it goes on like that. And he goes a little more deeper than the Bhagavatam in his vision of the Leela. His borders of what he wants to describe are a little beyond what Shukadeva Goswami explains. There's different limits that different authors will speak about. So now we're in text 34. Reme taya chatmarata atmaramo yakandita kaminam darshyan dhainyam srinam chaiva daratmatam. Translation. Shrideva Goswami continues, Sri Krishna enjoyed with that gopi, although he enjoys only within. Being self-satisfied and complete in himself. It says, Atmatam, Atmaramo. He's Atmaram. Self-satisfied and complete in himself. Thus, by contrast, Krishna shows the wretchedness of ordinary lusty men and hard-hearted women. So up to this point, up to these verses, 28, 29, 30, 33, different gopis were speaking, favorable and unfavorable party. That's called dialogue. Now the dialogue has gone to the background, and the foreground is the narrative. The narrator of the pastimes wants to interject a comment because people, the reader, we may misunderstand that words are being used in the last few verses, kamini, kamina, and Krishna's a lusty boy, and sometimes the gopis accuse Krishna as being a lusty boy, and sometimes they accuse Radharani as a lusty girl, and then Kamini, and both of them together, Kamini, Kamana, they're just two lusty boys. And then he explains, he wants to say, wait a minute, it's time to interject some tattva. It's time to interject some spiritual truth here about the transcendental identity of Bhagavan. Because otherwise we may relativize Krishna's pastimes or exchanges with Radharani and the gopis to be ordinary, mundane, loving affairs like materialistic, mundane men and women of this world, you and I. And that would be offensive on our part and deny us the great blessing of the Bhagavatam and the great mercy of the 10th canto, which will remove lust from our hearts. If we hear with faith, and with respect and acceptance and transcendental understanding through the parampara system from a properly qualified teacher. And that's what is the way to hear the Bhagavatam. The Shukamuni says, listen, Krishna's enjoying with Radharani, but actually he's Atmaram. He's not deficient in anything. He doesn't need this lady. He's not selfish. He's not lusty. He's not lusty. He doesn't need anything. He's Atmaram. Atmaram is he's totally satisfied and pleased within himself. So he's actually showing, because he's so detached and so selfless and so free from any kind of lust, it's simply a love exchange of pure love. That's why there's so much innocence here and sweetness. We're walking in the forest, and Krishna picks up his beloved because her feet may be hurting. Then he carefully sets her down. And then he wants to worship his beloved. He wants to praise her and worship her and establish her special position. So he personally goes out to pick flowers. And he, let's say, exerts himself quite a bit by stretching his hand, standing on his tiptoes to go from this tree to that tree to pick the best of most fragrant kusuma pushpa, most fragrant flowers for the pleasure of Krishna, for the pleasure of his Prayasi Radharani. So this is a beautiful, almost childlike, just they're in the forest and picking flowers and decorating Radharani's hair, and he's playful and joking and innocent. He's brushing her hair with a comb, and it makes a top knot, makes her look like a coward boy, like Subal Sakha, which we saw the other day. And it's just fun. It's pure love and immaculate expressions of divine exchanges. Although these envious rivals are saying, oh, the Kamini, Kamina. And Shukadev says, wait a minute, don't get carried away. He's Atmarama, Kandita. And all these words are there. He said, he's not, don't think it. It may look like something like lusty men, but Kamanyam, Darshayam, Dainyam. It may look like the lusty dealings, but it's not. Maybe showing that. And so then he wants to remind us here, don't get carried away, don't make offenses. Krishna is totally Atmaran and Aptakam. He has no desires fulfilled and he's totally satisfied within himself. He's completeness himself. Thus, by contrast, Krishna shows the wretchedness of ordinary lusty men and hard-hearted women. Srinam Dharatmatam. Dharatma. Dharatmatam is translated as hard-hearted, because Atma means heart, Atma means mind, Atma means the very person. And Dura means bad or hard or difficult. So Dharatmanam, hard-hearted woman or that type. So this is a reminder, kind of like a pop-up on your computer. You know, some pop-up comes up. Well, it's time to clean some bugs off your computer. What do they call it? Virus. Yeah, time to update your virus protection. A pop-up comes up and says, time to update your virus protection. Oh, and you have to stop what you're doing and revitalize your computer or something. So we get too much into all these verses of kamani, kam. Oh, Krishna's lusty, Radharani's lusty. And Shukamuni, to safeguard and protect the sanctity of the Leela and protect the consciousness and minds of the readers and to prevent anyone from making offenses to his Ishtadevata or Ishtadevi, Radharani and Krishna, then he says, remember, don't forget, these are the dealings of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan Sri Krishna, and his divine eternal consort, his own personal antaranga shakti, his ladini shakti, and Krishna's atma ramata. He's completely satisfied within himself. Doesn't need anyone, but just to please Radharani and to satisfy the gopis, then he acts like he does and behaves like he does. It's not because he's missing something, or not because he needs something, or not because he wants something. He's not wanton. Krishna is not a wanton lover, and Radharani is not a wanton beloved. They're full, they're complete. Om Purnamidam Purnamidam Purnam Adachate. Krishna's, in the Upanishads, explains that Krishna is completely full in himself. He's Purna, Purnatam. He's called Purnatam Bhagavan. But the jivas, like us, we're empty. We're always in need. I need this. I need water and I need food. We're never complete. Right? We need sleep. We need water. How can we say we're not complete? We're completely idiots. We're complete fools. Purna. It's like, so Krishna alone is Purna. In Krishna Vrindavan, Krishna is Purna. He's complete. He's absolutely perfect, but in the transcendence, even perfect can become more perfect. Not in the material world. Perfect is perfect. If you get a perfect marks on your exam, that means 100. There's 10 questions, you answer everyone perfectly or correctly, then you get perfect grade, 100. You can't get 110, 100, or you scored 120 on your exam. The top is 100, perfect. But in Krishna, the top is 100, 150, 200. So in Dwarka, Krishna is 100% Purna. Purna Bhagavan Sri Krishna in Dwarka. But in Mathura, our acharyas say that Krishna is Purnatara. He's 150% perfect. 150% Purna. But in Brajadam, Vrindavan, Krishna is 200% perfect. So he's called Purnatam Bhagavan. Swayam Bhagavan, Purnatam Bhagavan. So this Purnatam Bhagavan is being described, Krishna, with the Purnatam Shakti. The topmost form of all Shakti is Radharani. And all their Shaktis are simply emanations and expansions from her, and parts and parcels of her energy and her energetic expressions, whether they be in the realm of the material world or the spiritual world. So this is the complete, the Purna Shakti, the Purna Shakti, and the Purna Shaktiman. So he's reminding us of a little bit of philosophical interlude here. Keep us on course. For those that may be wondering or doubtful, so this is, we're doing text 34, and translation again. Because Krishna is self-sufficient, is Prabhupada's translation, text 34. Because Krishna is self-sufficient, he has nothing to enjoy from any other source. Yet just to satisfy his devotees, Krishna treated Radharani exactly as a lusty boy treats his girlfriend. Krishna is so kind that he always tolerates the disturbances created by his girlfriends. Very interesting translation by Prabhupada from his Krishna book. The Tika by Vishnu Chakravarti. He says, after praising Krishna's pastimes with Radharani through the mouth of the gopis in text 34, Shukadeva Goswami himself praises these pastimes. Krishna is complete in his own desires, Atmarata. Because that's there. It says Atmarata, Atmaram. So this verse, Jiva Goswami, true to his way he comments, he's commenting on various words and the significance and meaning and relevance of the words to Krishna and to us. First line says Atmarata, which is the same as Atmaramata and Aptakam. We say Aptakam means no desire to fulfill, and this Atmarata means the same thing. Takes pleasure only in himself, and he has no desires to fulfill. He's complete in his own desires, Atmarata. He's without dependence on others. Krishna is completely absorbed in the bliss of his own sarup, and that's why it says, Atmaramo. His own form is made of bliss, Krishna Satchitananda. He's made of unlimited bliss. So he's relishing the bliss of his own sarup. Sometimes people, they have expression, natural high. It's just inner joy of some people. They feel natural inner joy. And that's also indicated sometimes in people's Janma Kundali, in their horoscope. There's particular yogas which indicate that also. And some people, because of the blessings of good karma in previous life, they have what is called harsh yoga. Harsh yoga means the natural tendency to be, the innate tendency to be always joyful and happy in all circumstances. That's a nice yoga to have, but it's pretty rare. And so that's actually identifiable in the charts. Mostly in Kali Yuga, everyone has a misery yoga. Everyone's miserable for various good reasons. So Krishna doesn't depend on anyone. He's absorbed in the bliss of his own sarup. But still he enjoys with Radharani, ignoring all the other gopis. Thus Radha is the highest object of happiness and the abode of prem for Krishna. In the intimate loving relationship with Radharani, Krishna's intimate loving relationship with Radharani, the verse says, akandita. Although he's Atmarata and Atmarama, still, akandita kaminam darshyan. Akhandita means, like we say, Akhanda Kirtan. No break. It's 24 hours a day, every day for so many years. Akhanda Kirtan. Akhanda means no khanda. Khanda means broken. So although he's self-satisfied, he's always in a continuous relationship of love with Radharani. Because Krishna is conquered by Radharani's prema, therefore Krishna offers everything to Radharani. It is stated in many places that Krishna's greatest quality is that he's controlled by the love of his devotees. This is also mentioned in Lagu Bhagavatamritam by Rupa Goswami. So that's very nice. As you know, love rules, love conquers, love rules, love controls. So Krishna is conquered by love, he's ruled by love, he's controlled by love. Yatamam prapadyante tam sataiva vajamyam manavartante manasham tanashitam. That everyone, in one way or another, they're following the path of Krishna. And when we love Krishna, then he reciprocates and loves us. And he does so many things to us when we become, as we said, we become one-pointed. Ananyas chintiyantomam. Ananya, our chinta. Ananyas chintiyantomam. Chinta means our thinking, our thoughts. Our thinking, our thoughts, our desires, our feeling, our willing. When it's ananya, it's not for anyone else, only Krishna. Ananyas chintiyantomam. Then that person enters Krishna's mind and heart. He takes permanent, such a ekanta bhakta, who is totally thinking of Krishna and Radharani, moment to moment, day to day. That person takes residence. He moves into the heart and mind of Krishna, Krishna Vasa, Krishna Manavas. He moves into the mind of Krishna and into the heart. Then Krishna does everything for that devotee. As a lover will do anything and everything for the beloved, and the beloved in turn will do for the lover. So Krishna is controlled by love, everyone's controlled by love, everyone's ruled by love. So this is the whole meaning of bhakti. And Krishna says in the concluding line of that verse, Ananyas Chintiyantamam from Gita Yoga, Shemam Vahamyam, that he carries his lover on his shoulders, or he carries whatever one needs. Krishna carries us, for the devotee, Krishna carries us over the ocean of birth and death. There's a verse that says that Krishna is a swift deliverer from the ocean of birth and death. That's called Samsara Sagar. Samsara Sindhu. We're drowning and suffering in a miserable ocean of material existence. But if we surrender to Krishna, Krishna will pick us up out of the ocean. Once Prabhupada was in his room in Radhadamodara. He was writing. And he had a type of pen. The name of that pen was called Parker Pen. And one Indian godbrother came to visit him, Obiel Kapoor. Prabhupada said, I am writing these commentaries in the Bhagavatam for the benefit of the conditioned souls in the Kali Yuga. You see this pen? This name of this pen is Parkar, Parker Pen. And then he explained, in Bengali, Parkar means to take across. The word Parkar means to carry across. So these commentaries, this Srimad Bhagavatam, my commentaries in Bhagavatam, will carry the living entities across the ocean of birth and death to the land of Vaikuntha, Mukti, Golok Prapti. So this is a Parkar pen. And I'm writing commentaries and speaking commentaries to transport people across the ocean of birth and death so they go to the eternal land of joy and bliss and happiness, Vaikuntha and Goloka. Very sweet anecdote of Prabhupada. So that's Jiva Goswami's commentary in verse 34. And Vishnu Chakravarti comments. I'll read the verse again. Prabhupada's translation, Reme Taya Chatmarata Atmarama Pya Kandata Kaminam Darshiyan Dainyam Srinam Cheva Dharatmatam. Because Krishna, I already read Prabhupada's, I'll read the other one, PBT. Sri Krishna enjoyed with that gopi, although he enjoys only within, being self-satisfied and complete in himself. Thus, by contrast, Krishna is showing the wretchedness of ordinary lusty men and hard-hearted women. Strinam dur atmatam. Strinam dur atmatam. Dur atmatam. Very hard-minded, hard-hearted, selfish, egoistic, proud, envious, feelingless people. So there are a lot of those people out there. So now Vishnu says, after showing the extreme degree of Radha's good fortune through the statements of the gopis, Shukadeva himself concludes with his own words in verse 34. He says, Shukamuni, even though Krishna is self-satisfied, still he enjoys with Radha because his own pleasure increases in Radha's company. In other words, Krishna does not experience the same happiness in his own, it's called Sarupananda, the technical term is called, in his own Sarupananda, his innate bliss, his natural high. He does not experience the same bliss of his own Sarupananda that he experiences when he's with Ladini Shakti, Radharani. So this Vishnu is saying that. He does not experience the same happiness in his own self-satisfaction, Atmaramata, as he does in association with Radhika. There is another meaning to this first line, Taya, Taya Atmarata. In that version, let's say, with great eagerness, Krishna enjoys with Radha. Well, the phrase Taya Atmarata means with great eagerness, Krishna enjoys with Radha. Because Krishna does not obtain the same happiness from his inner self-satisfaction, Atmaram. One may question, this is nice, Vishnu is always asking these things. If this is so, then it seems to indicate that Krishna is incomplete, that he's not Purnam, Om Purnamadam Purnamidam Purnamadachyate. But Shukadeva replies with the word Akandita. It says, Reme Taya Atmarata Atmaramo Akandita, which means, one may question, if this is so, it seems that Krishna is incomplete. So Shukamuni replies with the word Akandita, which means that Krishna is unbroken and never incomplete. Though Radha is the form of Krishna's own Ladini Shakti, during Krishna's pastimes, Radha's form transforms into the essence of joy called Prema, which reaches its pinnacle as Mahabhav. Thus, Krishna enjoys more happiness with Radha, who is the topmost essence of joy, than the happiness arising from his own quality of being Atmaramata. So that establishes the supreme position of Radharani. So thus, the logical connection of the words Atmarata, Akandita, and Atmaram is that even though Krishna is self-satisfied, he is eager to enjoy with Radha. And even though Krishna derives personal pleasure from Radha, he remains unbroken and perfectly complete. In this way, Krishna enjoys his transcendental pastimes. And thus, here Sri Krishna teaches the world that his confidential pastimes cannot be understood by persons who are under the sway of lust. If man is controlled by lust, he is miserable and degraded, and vice versa. So this is the commentary on 34. And tomorrow we'll speak our commentary or our words. And this is today's class. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.